Hey, welcome to the Network Computing Security Channel podcast. This is Kurt Franklin, Senior Technology Editor. And today we have something kind of special. We've got a very long interview with an interesting guy. Kevin Kernan is CEO of Secure Software, a company that specializes in tools that help companies make sure that the applications they write are security aware and are in fact secure from the beginning. Kevin has some interesting things to say on how security happens and all the components of a security enterprise, coming from someone who doesn't really specialize in selling things like firewalls. His perspective is kind of interesting. Sorry it's been a week and a day since the last podcast, but things have been busy. We did have the holiday thrown into the mix, and I'm going to try to make it up to you by having an extra bonus podcast later this week. We have another good interview coming up with an executive from a company you'll hear about later on. Anyway, let's get on to the interview with Kevin Kernan. This was done over the phone, and so the sound quality, once in a while you hear a spike on the sound coming from his end because of where the mic was placed to capture the phone. But I think it's pretty good. Interesting stuff. Enjoy, and I'll be back to sign off when the interview is over. Kevin, let me start out by asking, from your perspective on network and IT security, what are the components for a complete security package?
Sure. It's probably best to start by looking at what's often referred to as an IT security plan. And those plans have evolved over the last couple of years. They were typically populated with network security products and methods. Adding to that were system or host level security concepts and products. And it's really in the last 12 to 18 months, maybe 2 years if we stretch, that folks have begun to realize that application security is now a fundamental ingredient of the overall IT security plan. So if you talk with, for example, a major financial institution about their IT security plan today, they will typically highlight three primary components: network security, system or host level security, and application security.
Okay, so tell me, when you talk about application security, what specifically are you talking about?
Sure. I'll come around to answer that in more detail, but let me back up just a little bit and talk about kind of the genesis of application security. What folks have found in the last year or two is that despite significant spend, I want to say on the order of $30 billion annually on network IT security products, there has consistently been an increase in the number of incidents reported, an increase in the cost per incident, an increase in the number of vulnerabilities reported to CERT. So despite that increasing spend on network IT security, folks have seen increases in these key, what I would call, application security indicators, forcing the industry to really take a look at a level deeper. Let's go back into the application. Gartner cited not too long ago that about 70% of hacks or attacks occur at the application layer. So, you know, further fueling the need to address security at the application layer. And what that really means is a number of things, kind of depending on the constituents you talk with. Today, the state of the practice is, for the most part, once an application is complete, bring in a subject matter expert and almost manually walk through the source code and look for security vulnerabilities. That's a very expensive and painstaking process. In some cases, folks will actually do it as a pre-deployment security check. And interesting to note, I've talked to nearly 50 financial institutions in the last 18 months, and I've not had one of them cite a number less than 70% as the failure rate for these pre-deployment security checks. So that's one way to address application security is more or less what we refer to as a manual code audit. And we've all read various articles that suggest that fixing defects and flaws after deployment is the most expensive point in the life cycle to do so. So what folks have done is taken that combination of manual code audit, or the, let's just say, the frustration with the cost and inconsistency of manual code audits, as well as the notion that I can fix things much less expensively early on in the life cycle, and use that to justify investing in process, tools, awareness campaigns, such that they could begin to address application security as a fundamental business requirement or a fundamental requirement of the new systems that they are constructing.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, when you start looking at the entire life cycle of an application, to this point in application security, how much of what's been deployed has been trying to cover up for bad programming practices?
I don't have any empirical data that would offer a highly quantitative answer to that. But I would say that there is a significant body of deployed applications that make it to what I would call the list of business critical systems identified by, let's call it, the Global 2000. And what that means is those are applications that have been identified by the CIO or the chief security officer, in some cases the board or the CEO, and their auditors as applications that will need to be checked in order for that organization to claim compliance with various regulatory requirements, you know, including but not limited to Sarbanes-Oxley.
Okay, well, let me ask the question from the other direction. If, say, tomorrow, all of the application programmers out there got it right, you know, used best practices, fully validated the security compliance of their code, did things just right, would it eliminate the need for application security firewalls and other appliances to be deployed on those new applications?
I think that, and the reasons for that are that, the hackers and attackers are getting smarter, using more sophisticated methods, looking for new vulnerabilities that can be exploited. The combination of application architecture, the explosion of the use of web services to expand e-commerce, all create kind of combinatorial situations that hackers and attackers will look to exploit. In addition, we really talk to our clients about a balanced dose of network security, host-level security, and application security. And that balanced dose or that measured approach really does depend on depends on the business. What are the applications? How web intensive are they? What languages are they written in? What security considerations or best practices were adopted or implemented when they were built? So our view is that what we really want to do is we want to build application security into the series of best practices that go into the construction of all software applications. And that's an ongoing, evolving, dynamic activity. I don't believe that, at least in my lifetime, and hopefully I'll be around for a little while longer, I don't think there will be any epiphany that says, okay, everything is secure, we've solved that problem, we don't need to invest in it any further. On the contrary, I think that we are just learning, and if you go into most organizations that admit that application security, and most do, is an issue in today's IT world, they're really just getting beyond the awareness campaigns and beginning to realize that if I invest in and solve this problem as a software development issue and not just as an IT security issue, the solutions will be far more lasting and much less expensive over time.
Okay. From the application point of view, you mentioned a few minutes ago things like Sarbanes-Oxley, we've got HIPAA, we've got GLB, and all of the rest of the alphabet soup regulations and laws that various organizations have to conform to now. Obviously, you're seeing that kind of compliance drive business in your area. But I'm curious, how much are you seeing people or organizations who genuinely want to improve security versus those who just want to make the lawyers happy if someone comes calling?
Well, I think there's, you know, the financial services organizations are clearly driven by regulatory requirements. But given the rise in or the media attention focused over the last 12 months, let's say, on hacks and attacks, high-profile loss of private client data, there's a new driver here, and it's brand and image. So what we find is that it's not just the financial services firms driven by regulatory requirements like the ones you've cited, but it's ISVs, it's software product vendors, it's the public sector, it's civilian and defense agencies, it's critical infrastructure projects in transportation and utilities and resources, driven by a whole series of motivations, if you will. But for the most part, this concept of brand and image has, we believe, has created a real sense of urgency and a compelling reason to act amongst a fairly broad collection of organizations that perhaps a year or 18 months ago, they might not have been so concerned about application security.
Okay. Well, you know, on the application, more and more people are using things like the various web services. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at protecting applications and ensuring the security aspects of applications, as companies are building applications using XML and SOAP and all of the other web services, to what extent are you seeing those frameworks and those platforms themselves introducing vulnerabilities? I mean, are at this point in their development, are they a boon to a secure application, or are they an extra level of vulnerabilities that has to be worked around?
Well, I think there's certainly quite a bit of attention paid to web services and the fact that the web services, you know, offer the entry vehicle in many cases for a hack or an attack or an exploit. So there's quite a bit of attention given to and focus on the web service portion of an application. But again, I go back to the comment about a balanced approach. It's important that folks understand that while the front end of a product offering or a session is in fact or could be certainly a web services capability, many of the applications that are tied to that web service were never designed or conceived with security in mind. So, you know, the security profile or posture of the overall system is only as strong as the weakest link. So it's not just a focus on web services, but it's how do I test for and reason about the security profile of the entire system?
Okay.
This has opened up a whole series of legacy applications that, as I say, were never intended or designed to be used in that sense. So what we will typically do, we will work with our clients to ensure that when we select an application for security testing, we test all of that application. The web services component, the underlying architecture, any applications that may be integrated or touched by that web service, so that when we provide a analysis results or security profile back to that client, it is a complete report. It's a full look at that application. And part of what we propose to our clients beyond just running an analysis on their applications is that they inject some level of process into their current software development lifecycle. And by process, I mean a security process. We've recently released what we call CLASP, Comprehensive Lightweight Application Security Process. It is a reference guide that provides a series of activities, artifacts, guidelines for software development teams that enables them to begin injecting security considerations into the lifecycle specific to the activities they perform, be they developers, testers, project managers, architects, so that they can begin reasoning about and injecting security into that application very early on in that lifecycle, so that security analysis is not left to the end. It's not something you think about just prior to deployment or even post-deployment.
Okay. Well, I've got a couple more questions, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
Sure.
The first one is, you know, you were talking a bit about people who were through web front ends making more public or more available applications that were not at their inception designed to be used in a client server environment.
Sure.
As you have looked at your customers and what they were doing, mm-hmm. broadly speaking, are there any attempts to bring an application out, any techniques that people use or any broad programming practices that you find tend to be more problematic from a security standpoint than others? Again, just broadly speaking, I mean, are there any things where if someone says, ah, we're doing, and just to name something, we're going to be doing a raw screen scrape and pulling it forward?
Sure.
Are there any things that when you hear them, you say to yourself, boy, this is going to be a thick report?
You know, you face that. I refer to financial services here quite frequently, but I think we see that more often in the financial services space where there's pressure to develop new product offerings and make new services available to clients very, very quickly. What that results in is the establishment of what I'll call web frameworks. So they'll develop a framework for web services where that framework sits atop all of what I would call the critical applications. And what they need to be careful of is that if there's an exploit or a vulnerability in that framework, you've just now created a potential passageway for a hack attack or an exploit across a very broad range of applications. So whenever we see a system architecture that involves this notion of a common web framework, I'll call it to some extent, we need to be very careful about the security profile of that framework. And I don't want to say that that is a typical approach, but it's a very intuitive approach to building web services on top of pre-existing applications that were not originally intended for web exposure.
Okay. All right. Well, the last question, you talk a great deal about adding security into the entire application development process and making it part of the intrinsic business process of developing applications. To what extent are you finding companies are willing to allow security to have an impact on their development cycle? In other words, if you told a company, well, we can make your application far more secure, but it's going to add 15% to your development time, do you have any sense for the kind of security overhead in terms of development time that companies are willing to bear right now?
I would say that we haven't seen enough data to draw any specific conclusions, but in the financial analysis or return on investment calculations that we do with our clients, we see a couple things. First and foremost, for those organizations that are paying for manual code reviews, the economics of injecting process ideals and automation into the life cycle are very compelling. The cost of manual audits today can be anywhere from 20 cents to 75 cents a line of code. Not only is the activity that you're paying for there expensive, but the cost of remediation at that point in the life cycle is very expensive. So for those organizations, as I say, that are paying for that today, the cost of injecting this or introducing process and automation is very compelling. I would say that the other use case to think about here is when we talked earlier about organizations that do pre-deployment security testing and the failure rates being extremely high, those organizations are looking for ways to eliminate or reduce that failure rate. And again, the financial analysis on that, the return on investment, is extremely compelling for those organizations, such that they can justify not only introducing simple awareness campaigns, but investing in process technology as well as some form of automation much earlier in the life cycle. So thus far, we have seen that folks that are either driven by a regulatory requirement or set of regulatory requirements, or have specific risk profiles around brand and image destruction, and do the analysis on the cost today to address this with manual code audits or some pre-deployment security testing, find that it is very cost efficient to begin to introduce these concepts and these tools earlier in the life cycle, to the point that many of these organizations believe they can reduce their overall software development costs by introducing security process and automation into the life cycle. And when I say into the life cycle, introducing as fundamental business requirements right up front.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's going to end the podcast portion, but I really appreciate your time with this. Thank you. Well, that was an interview I did with Kevin Kernan, CEO of Secure Software. Interesting stuff there, things to think about. And as I said, we've got a bonus podcast coming later this week where I will be talking with Paul Henry, who's a senior vice president with CyberGuard. Paul had, as Kevin did, some very interesting things to say about security. In Paul's case, lots of talking about how things evolve around proxies and how much of security seems to revolve around the idea of proxies. So some interesting stuff coming up. Watch later in the week for that. As always, please let me know what you think of the podcast. Until next time, this is Kurt Franklin for Network Computing.